Let the blood begin to remove anything, any toxin, any poison, any disease, any affliction, any abuse, any complication, seen and unseen, known and unknown. Lord God, give a blood transfusion today in the midst of your people, oh God. A spiritual blood transfusion, oh God, that will break the bondage, the hidden agenda of the enemy. Father, we have been going around the same mountain too long. It must come to an end. I break it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord God, I know the blood will give us clarity, give us strength, will give us wisdom, it'll give us revelation, it will give us strength from day to day. Holy Spirit, we thank you for speaking to us today as individuals. In Jesus' name, amen. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Be seated in his presence. I just pray that you would not fall asleep. And if you fall asleep, because I'm not going to be long, if you fall asleep, I give everybody next to you that is sleeping, don't touch them to wake them though. Hit them. Let me see if they're going to fight back. Just hit them, because you should not sleep in a situation, in a setting like this. There's a spirit behind it, you know. And so in Psalms 45, it says in verse 6 and 7, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of the kingdom is a right scepter. He says, thou lovest righteousness, and you hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, and all thy garments, they smell good, myrrh, aloes, cassia, out of ivory places, whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughters of house of prayer, sons and daughters, and consider and incline thine ear today. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. For guess what? He is thy Lord. And worship thou him. And the daughters of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. He said, the king's daughters is in all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in the raiment of needlework. The virgins of her companion that follow her shall be brought unto thee with gladness and rejoicing, that shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princesses in all the earth. He said, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generation. Therefore shall thy people praise thee forever and ever. We are children of the kingdom of the Most High. No, amen. I say you are children of the Most High God. You're in the kingdom of God for such a time as this. And so today we're going to talk about the power of protocol. The power of protocol. You see, it's time for power to change hands. You know, it's time for power to change hands in your own life. You got to know who you are. You got to rise up. You know, and in order for us to rise up, you know, God has to use some voice on the earth, a human being. You know, He's going to use somebody on the earth to talk to you. Because we need to study and respect the power of protocol in life. There are protocols everywhere. Every entry point, there is protocol. Protocol, protocol, protocol. And so I read this chapter to let you begin to get the kingly feeling, the queenly feeling, that you're part of a kingdom. And in the kingdom, there is a king. In the kingdom, there are priests. And God said, we are priests and kings unto the Most High God. And so, if in a ministry, a warfare ministry, you got to be informed about the importance of protocol. You got to be informed about the importance of protocol. You know, because whether you believe it or not, protocol is being respected every day, every moment. There's a protocol for your job, a protocol for the church, a protocol for if you go to the doctor's office. Protocol is all over the place. But just because sometimes, you know, nobody preach about these things, you think that it does not exist, you know. And so in all the earth, protocol, 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 you know. The king in the earth in those times, like I'm going to go into the book of Esther, the book of Esther. In those days, you know, the king is called a monarch king. They used to call them emperors, you know. They, you know, and we know that protocol still exists because they have the Buckingham Palace, where there is the Queen of England. My goodness, protocol is being respected big time there. If you think I like, go and tell me, go and call me back and say that you get to see the Queen just by leaving here and going to Buckingham, booking your passage. You will never get to see the Queen unless you know protocol has to be in place. You know, so it's very, very active. You know, and protocol is being honored in the White House protocol. You know, in Kremlin, the protocol I'm talking about, where the protocol is very rigid. You know, in Canada, protocol in the government was not so serious because, you know, we always lagging behind. And so one man did go into the house, and that man was able to do some killings. You know, he used a machine gun. You remember the many years? He used a machine gun, and in Wednesday was in session, and he caused havoc. Since after that, heavy protocol is in place. Because why? The guy was able to get in and do all this devastation because protocol was not respected, you know. I happened to, you know, when we went to Cameroon, you know, God allow us to really and truly, you know, visit the Prime Minister resident, and boy, is protocol respected highly in that place, you know. And it was only. And they usually brief you about the protocol. You know, when you go in to the atmosphere, it's only one person that talk. It was the woman was just addressing me, you know. And many of us, you know, that is not important to us because, you know, protocol. Ah, what's that does not mean in the Western world, especially, you know. But we are seeing that God is bringing back protocol to be remembered, you know, because it's a kingdom. We're in the kingdom of God, you know. And so even when those that went to Prophet Matty Notage Ministry, protocol is being respected. Even before you go to testify, there's somebody there that tell you, you cannot say this, you cannot. So he said, when you go in to testify, he said, the first person you give honor to is the prophet. You know, you honor the prophet. Protocol must be respected. And then you give your testimony. And they will tell you, that not too long. And they give you the timing, you know. And so protocol is what it is. Is a code, a prescribing strict adherence to a correct etiquette, you know. And it is very strict, and you have to follow procedure, you know. Prayer is a powerful protocol, because God is saying, in order for you to get to him, you got to pray. He said, call unto me and I will answer, you know. And so therefore, you are not going to get close to God if you don't like to pray, because that is the protocol, you know. And so you have to know that in a palace, in the king's palace, every worker have to be taught about protocol. You have to understand how to treat the palace, how to treat the king and the queen. You got to respect and give honor to the royal status in the palace, you know. And you got to follow the instruction as prescribed to you, you know. And if you don't follow it, you will not be able to participate in whatever you are asked to do. Protocol comes first, you know. And so the Spirit of the Lord opened my eyes to the book of Esther. And he said, go in the book of Esther. And you begin to see how protocol is important. Because if this ministry have to move on spiritually, you can't do what you feel like doing. And you can't get mad when protocol is respected. You just have to submit to the order in which is being prescribed. Intelligence people knows about protocol, especially businessmen that travel all over the place. We see, you know, Jesus went to Nazareth. And, you know, Jesus could not do any good thing in Nazareth. Because why? He was not being honored. They insisted on disrespecting the King of Glory, the Lord God of hosts. And the Bible said Jesus could not perform much. And he says a prophet has no honor in his own country or his own, you know, family, you know. And what if you cannot really and truly, you know, show respect to protocol, you cannot really and truly worship that person. You dethrone them. So that's why the Lord allowed the book of Esther to show us that this woman by the name of Vashti, she was crowned the queen. She was loved by the prince, by the king of the palace. But she did not observe protocol. It was on this, in Esther 1, on verse 9. Esther, the king had a feast. And the feast, when you read, you see He had 120 provinces. It was no little fool king. He was a powerful king. He was a very popular king, you know. And so the king had 120 provinces come together. Listen, when you get time, read and see for yourself how that kingdom was wealthy and rich. Many of us barely survive one day party. Some of us, for the whole year, nobody never eat around your table. Can't afford it. It is an honor to have one day a feast around your table. It's a blessing. But this king did not have one day. This king was having 7 days of feast. And they had wine, they had food, everything in abundance. And listen, don't talk about the splendor in verse 6. Green and blue and hangings, fastened with cords of fine linens. Oh my goodness. And they gave them drinking vessels of gold. All your life, look at your age. Many of us never even have a party like that. Royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. It was a splendor. It was a wonder. It was fabulous. Wealth and riches were being displayed. And the king gave Vashti the opportunity to have a feast for the woman in the royal house, which belonged to the king Ahasuerus. So this king was a very generous. He was a very generous king. Because he said, I want my wife to entertain her friends, you know, and treat them and able to, you know, host them and treat them good. So this is a good king. He was in love. But you know, sometimes the more you lift up woman is more there are no manners. I know we hear amen because the majority of us hear woman. But you see, I will speak the truth because it's the truth that brings freedom. You know, look at the love that the king, you know, expresses to his wife. And so, therefore, this woman had a crown and she had power and she had authority. But what is missing from her, she did not respect protocol. The king, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, look at all these bodyguard, all these assistants, this chamberlain was in the presence of the king. And he now think his wife have humility, stability, you know. He think he had good wife. You know how much men think they are good wife? And so he invited his wife, the queen, you know, to come. He crowned her as his royal partner. And he was so proud of her. So he sent for her. All she should do is humble herself and go before the king. But she refused, the Bible says. But the queen, Vashti, refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlain. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned within. Father God, today as a woman, help me to have respect towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As a woman, help me, Lord God, to have respect towards my husband. Because, Lord, you have given me my own husband for me to learn to respect my own husband. Father God, help us to to understand protocol still exists. If we can learn to respect ourselves, we have no problem to respect others. But when we are struggling in this area, you know what can happen. The Bible say, the queen, underline the book if you pray for this one. The queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlain. She refused. Then the king was shamed like a dog. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, you know, oh my goodness, he was so embarrassed. So the embarrassment caused the men, hear what they say, what shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law? They didn't say, because the husband loved the wife, we have to leave it like that. Protocol is so important. He said, according to the law, because she had not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. And then Mutchen answered before the king and his princes. He said, Vashti, the queen had not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes, to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. He said, for this deed of the queen shall come abroad into all women, so that they shall despise their husband in their eyes when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came likewise. So guess what they do? To make a long story short, they drive Vashti from the kingdom. Them drive Vashti, oh, them drive Vashti, and I got no manners. She want crown, but she don't want to really and truly respect the one who put the crown on top of her head. Many of you want husband, but God have to work with many of you because are you rude like pig? And let me tell you, sometimes the man can put up with his rudeness, but God observe protocol. God observe protocol. So God wants us, work on your character, work on your behavior, humble yourself, you know, because you watch and see that as good as Vashti was, as pretty as Vashti was, as beautiful as Vashti was, a character sent her right out of the palace. Her bad character. And so God wants us to really understand protocol is very important in the kingdom of God. Protocol is very important as it is in the natural kingdom. So it is in the spiritual kingdom, in the presence of God. There's fullness of joy at his right hand. There are pleasures forevermore. This woman caused the atmosphere to be filled with distrust. It caused the atmosphere to bring a lot of embarrassment. Look at what she have done. You think she thought? Think to herself and say, oh God, I will go only because these men come to get me. Now, God is bringing up the hour. And he's very rigid with protocol. He say, order must begin into the house of God. Worship is a protocol. Worship protect the king and qualify the visitors. If your enemy is the king enemy, then your battle is the king battle. You need to know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords observe protocol. we see that after Vashti was banished, there come a very humble, beautiful woman. She did not have no mother. She did not have no father. She had an uncle. But her obedience, her submission, her character, her humility caused her to be crowned queen in the palace. Her behavior, you know, her behavior, from the time she got into the kingdom, she was submissive to all the chamberlains. She did not know them from when they come, but she was so humble. She did not out-talk them. She did not challenge them. She was not rebellious to them. She was not rude. She did not prop her mouth. Imagine, she's going to dress to go and meet the king. And guess what? One of the chambermaids gave her the opportunity to dress herself. And she said, I give it over to you. With this year generation we have right now, me, Juliana, dress me. Hey, me, old-fashioned Juliana, to come and buy clothes for me. But this woman was seen in her future. This woman have a godly character. Give them the opportunity to dress you, because you never know the plans of God. You never know what God have in store for you and who he put it with. Guess what he did? He put it, that favor, supernatural favor, divine favor. When this chamberlain was able to dress Esther, it's not only for the palace, but it was for the future where God have in store for her. She humbled herself. We are living in times. We are in the kingdom for such a time as this. And we need to know about the palace protocol. We need to know that protocol is important to God. Protocol is important in society. There is a job protocol, and I'm sure you are there. If they say 8 o'clock, what does that mean? 8 o'clock. If they say 4 o'clock on the job, that's what they mean. And if they give you an instruction and they say, do this and do that and do this, and you don't like to do it, I know you wouldn't last long in your job. We don't realize that same principle is enforced in the kingdom of God. Because our nature, we like to do our own thing. And God knows that. So God will allow you to see if you follow instruction. He tests you to see if you have that desire to be obedient to protocol. Vashti already had a crown as queen, but she lost that crown because she did not respect the palace protocol. You got to learn to protect your life and your crown. You did not get it because you're a good worker. God crowned you with loving kindness. God crowned you even from your mother's womb with a great destiny. God gifted you. God bless you. God handpicked you to bring you into the kingdom for such a time as this. Respect protocol is about your progress. It's about your prosperity. It's about where God wants to take you in life. You got to know Favor does not come from man. Favor comes from God. And to survive in the kingdom, you have to know the power of grace and favor. Because when God calls you his favorite, oh God, hey, glory to God. You know what favor is? Unmerited favor of God. That is telling you, you're handpicked, chosen, elected, selected by God. Some of us have been handpicked even from our mother's womb. And sometimes, even the way, the circumstances that you get pregnant, oh my goodness, it's so much pain. But sometimes, out of that, God can bring out something beautiful out in your life. Hallelujah. Divine favor. You know, it's time for us to understand when we respect protocol, we will be favored by God. You will increase in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The story of Esther has opened a door for the whole universe. Everybody that read the Bible, they begin to see that power change hands because she respected protocol even from her uncle. She humbled herself. She humbled herself. She humbled herself under the mighty hand of God. And because of her humility to respect protocol, when the enemy strike the kingdom and the man of God, Mordecai, as a prayer warrior, he understand protocol. He began to call upon the Most High God. He did not realize that Haman was one of the greatest con artists that was in the kingdom. He was diabolical. He was wicked. He was a killer. He was a viper. He was a tiger. He was a dragon. Everything in one. That who Haman was. And even the king, he was so close to the king that he could not see that Haman was holding a death sentence for him. And when that death sentence, the first attack they make at the king's life, the warrior Mordecai picked it up and make an announcement and say, there are two people at this gate. And they wanted to kill our king. He said, oh my goodness. They work fast on the action. And they get rid of those two guys. But Haman started to say, that Mordecai, every time I'm trying to make an advance in my kingdom, that Mordecai will come with his kuko raba sheke taka roko shanda lalako saka tuke teke roko raba sheke. Do you know why I'm being hated? Kondo robo sheke kuleleke sata ye endo raba kasata karoka sheke takaroka sata keya. Oh God, my machine gun. Hoko raba, hanta raba saya. Lord raba baba 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 shake. Endo reke shata la kasaya. I've already set up the kingdom. I've already got things in place to get rid of Ahasuerus, King Ahasuerus. I got rid of Vashti. When I sit down and think that I'm gonna get rid of Ahasuerus or whatever us. Whatever. All of a sudden, Mordecai come and throw himself at the gate and constantly praying and constantly interceding. That time he didn't know Mordecai had a connection inside of the palace there that is raising ranks. He just sit at the gate. And when Haman come in, do you know how many people you are aggravating? Do you know how many powers you are destroying when you're on your knees? Why do you think the devil will keep you off? Because he knows the damage that you make. So he will do everything to make sure you never have much prayer. He will assassinate your prayer life. He will drive you out from your altar, from your place of prayer, because the only way he can kill you is to get you up out of your knees. And so that was Haman. That was Haman. He sat down and he said, the first plot I planned, Mordecai succeeded. He said, this time, the way I will do it, he will never be able to succeed. But he didn't know. He did not know. You know, he did not know that he was going through human protocol. He was going to human protocol, because he know the protocol in the kingdom is powerful. And so he says, you know, I'm going to do a little voodoo. And when I finish my voodoo, I'm going to get this king mind on me. I'm going to get the king heart on me. I'm going to get the king life on me. I'm going to tie up his eyes and tie up his foot and tie up his head and tie up his brain. And get him to write a seal. I'm going to get him to write a seal that when he write the seal, when he write the seal, he says, guess what? It cannot be altered. It cannot be broken. It cannot change. But little does he know, little did he know that our God is a protocol breaker. There is nothing you cannot do. He cannot oversee. He's a protocol. He's a protocol breaker. And because protocol come from him. I wonder what protocol in your life. You better connect to the one that can really and truly break every protocol that the enemy have. Because listen, there are many Haman that is scattered all over. If you don't have one, it's because you're blind. And you can't see. But I tell you, if they're in their home, they're in the job. If they're not in the job, they're in the neighborhood. If they're not in the neighborhood, they're busy on the altar working against you. If they can't get you, they take your husband. If they can't get you, they take your children. If they can't get you, they take you. Even when they can't do nothing with you, they still take you. We have to begin to get the eyes of our understanding enlightened, so that when the Spirit of God begins to talk to us about our character, about our attitude, about following instruction, about humbling ourselves before the throne of grace, about having a hunger to sit in the gate of prayer and to intercede. Because listen, man think they can run the country, but I know the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Is God still running the country? He's still in control. He knows every activity. He knows every meeting that is scheduled against anybody. There is nothing hidden from the eyes of God. And so, power to change hands? You got to have a desire to pray. Listen. This Persian king, let me give you a little idea about this Persian king, You know, he was in those days, he was powerful. He was ruthless. He was jealous, you know, and he was very handsome, you know. He has great ambition, you know. And at those days, they say they describe him as a very tall and brilliant warrior, you know. And that's why his protocol was so rigid, because he was so handsome and so beautiful. He say a woman to come and sleep with him, you know, or to just see him to see if he loved them. He said, you had to spend 1 year grooming. Hey, 1 year grooming to see if you can get a one night stand. If you're ugly, you're in trouble. If you're ugly, you're in trouble. My girlfriend this weekend gave me a joke. It was so funny. She said this man had a parrot. And she said, the parrot have this friend now, this woman named Lola. And every time Lola pass, the parrot will say, Lola. He say, you're so ugly. He said, look at you, you're so ugly. So Lola was tired with the parrot calling him ugly. Go to the master. And he said, this every time I pass the parrot will call me and tell me all I'm ugly. So the master say, if you trouble Lola again, I will send you to the back of the house. You will not sit in front of here, and you will never see in front of Lola again. So Lola pass. Lola. Lola say what? He say, you know. So he say, Lola ugly. He only say, Lola, Lola. And Lola say, what? He say, you know. You know. So this king was so demanding, you know, for just one night. This woman have to bathe in all sort of nice spices. She got to smell good, look good, walk good, talk good. Don't talk about the shape on her body. Everything had to be just, for one night. You see, you're having problem right there. Right there. Imagine, you had to wait 1 year. Oh, God. Look at what woman went through for to give love. 1 year, you know. And so this God intervened. God intervened by bringing out this young, obedient Jewish girl, you know, from her uncle's house to bring changes to the kingdom. She bring changes because she had the right attitude, the right character, the right behavior. She humbled herself. She was teachable. She followed instruction. She loved and respect everyone around her. She did not disrespect nobody. She was not a rebel. This woman, she came with an agenda from God to change the kingdom. If God is going to change in the kingdom, change in your home, and change in your life, he got to get your attention. The Bible says Esther found favor with our God. She was changed from a peasant to a princess. She was changed from rag to riches. All was done because she knew how to fast and pray. She knew how to humble herself before humanity. She never looked to defend herself. Some of us, we never give nobody a chance to even say, I'm so glad you're defending yourself. You don't know anything about it. You always have to have an excuse. But what? But, shut up with your but, and humble yourself in the kingdom. And be a God pleaser instead of a man pleaser. Stop defending yourself. There's nothing to defend it. If somebody make up their mind to do you evil, they will do it. Shut up and get before God. Hallelujah. So in the whole year, This woman humbled herself with the right attitude, with the right character, talking to the chamber. She didn't see the king yet, you know. She did not see the king yet. She did not see the king yet. But she kept her focus. And so when the time came, she was able to attract the king's heart. You see, God could not work with her if she was not willing to change her character, to change her attitude. God wants to make work with many of us, you know, but we're too rude. Every time, what? What do you want? I have to ask God and say, God, you know, help me root out every rudeness from within me, every rebellion within me. Give me a loving, teachable spirit. Give me a servant attitude. Some of us think we're too big to serve anybody. It have many of us don't like to serve. We serve in all terms. Don't tell me to serve. I will serve if I want to serve. Are you going to cook if my husband eat? What's wrong with his hands? He can cook for himself. The wife can call you honey, sweetie, bum bum, candy, all sort of thing. It will make a difference. You're going to cook for the man to cook for yourself. The honey and the fruity and the kissy is just a big show. But if he hungry, he better go in the kitchen, else he gonna die. And so you have to realize who Esther was in the kingdom to bring change. She paid the price with her own life. She paid the price. Because guess what? Haman was not. Many of us think Satan foolish. But I want to tell you, Satan's smarter than you. We ain't dealing with a foolish devil. We're dealing with a very intelligent devil. And all we do is play the fool with the devil. Haman was an enemy to Mordecai and the Jews. He was an enemy that he went behind. He invested to kill the whole of the Jewish race. He didn't just come out and do it in the day. He practiced it. He tried it. He worked towards it. And he really and truly respected Esther in the palace as a queen. But yet he was after her people. And I thank God for Mordecai, because when Mordecai sent in the information for Esther, Esther started to send clothes so that Mordecai would change. He was walking through the city with a burden for his people. He was walking through the land and say, it's time for power to change hands. He was walking and crying out, why shall I allow my children, my family, my people to die like a chicken? Look at what one man has done. He has sent a seal by the king of Shushan, the highest authority in the land. They have mandate to kill my people, and I'm right in the palace. Oh God, arise and let my enemies be scattered. He was not afraid. You know, he challenged the demonic authority publicly. And he bind up all the wicked evil commanders in the army. All of them at the gate that trying to tell Mordecai, well, say good morning to him. Oh, man, mind your business. Say what kind of morning? Anybody will say morning to the devil, a killer, a con artist, a viper, a sniper. Who want to be friends with the devil? Don't say no morning. Because why? They want him to come on his terms. But guess what? There are times you got to be as foolish. People can call you foolish. Say, yes, I'll be stupid for God. I make up my mind. I say, I'm going to be stupid for God. Anybody can call me stupid. Yes, I'm stupid for God. And then, dear, so when you're tired, you'll know that I'm too stupid to listen to you. So you'll stop. This is what Mordecai make up his mind. He keep his focus. And so today, I just want you to know you got a hey man. He might not be in the same cycle like your sister or your brother or your person in church, but he's there. He is there. And you got to be on the alert. I say evil still exists. Evil still exists. It comes through fear. Fear brings torment. Esther's story today is still very much alive. It reveals divinity's solution, using prayer and fasting to solve humanity, confusion, and wickedness, diabolism, and all the traitors, conspiracy, intimidators, dominators, controversy. Oh, prayer and fasting can do it, my dear. You are in the kingdom for such a time as this. Somebody said, Hitler hated the book of Esther. Because why? He knows he wants to keep people trapped in Satan concentrating camp. He wants to keep nation trapped secretly to destroy races, families. And nobody eyes is open to see the devil is at work to exterminate and to kill and to steal and to kill and to destroy your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Do you think I am telling you to rise up and pray because I want to torture you? It's because the spiritual Hitler is still alive. He still wants to wipe you out and wipe out your children and your grandchildren from off of the globe. He wants to weaken us in prayer so we'll think everything is okay. All is well. I don't need to worry about nothing. My children are all fine. They all have a good job. They all went to school. They all have their degrees. They all are doing well. It's okay. It's all right. I don't need to pray. That is the time you're supposed to pray because Hitler is on the loose. Hitler, and I want to tell you today, thank God for Esther, obedience, and that when her father say, you are in the kingdom for such a time as this, he say, Esther, arise, our kingdom will be destroyed because one man has made up his mind to put us out, to wipe us out. You don't realize Satan already scheduled and make up his mind who is going to wipe out this year. Not me, neither none of my children, no grandchildren, none of my sisters, none of my brothers, none of my relatives, none of my friends. Listen, this prayer is personal. You better open your mouth and say, not me. In order for power to change hands, we must be willing to position ourselves in prayer. Oh, glory to God. Read the book of Daniel. He was sent by God to change power. Babylon was one of the most terrible places you can think about. Powers of darkness, magicians, soothsayers, you know, just like it's going on right now. Dark powers controlling the whole nation while the church is there sitting and say, I don't believe in devil. Oh, yes? Did they come and trouble me? And God sent Daniel, a mouthpiece for God. He understand kingdom protocol. He came just into the kingdom. And he was telling God's people that you got to rise up. You got to pray. Listen, God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. He's looking. He's seeking. He's seeking for true worshipers. He's seeking for the kingdom. Kingdom sons and daughters in the kingdom. Listen, he said, seek ye first. And everything else will be added. You'll get your luxury when you seek the kingdom. You'll get your beauty, your splendor. You will get all your feasts. You'll get all your wishes. You'll be able to get a boat. Just say, I have a boat. You'll be able to get a bicycle. Just to say, I just bought a bicycle, cycle. All you need to do, seek him first. Seek the heart of the king. Don't look for splendor first. Look for the king first. Daniel was dealing with the king and the kingdom. Royalty. If you read the book of Daniel, you'll see how he was challenged. How he was rejected. He was in his life-threatening situation, but he kept his focus. He kept his focus. You have been given authority and dominion. It's time to rule in the midst of your enemies. You have to know protocol to get the king's attention. Over the years, the body of Christ have been afflicted with all sort of wickedness. But the Lord is saying you're in the kingdom for such a time as this. The king's heart is in God's hand. Them cannot manipulate you without God not knowing. Do you know God control all the resources of the world? You know, God have, you know, the doors, he hold the doors with keys of blessing and favor, loving kindness just for you. But he's waiting for you at the gate, the prayer gate. Where are you? You're too busy. Where are you? You withholding your blessings. Because why? You do not understand protocol. But I pray today you will understand protocol. You will understand that Mordecai paid a price. When you read the Bible, you see that oh God himself allowed Haman to put Mordecai on the horse. When the king called Haman, Haman think he was smart, but God is smarter. When the king called Haman, he said, what should you do for a man that honored and love me? He said, what can you do? All of a sudden, he started to say, the king don't love nobody else but me. So God said, yes, that's why I want you to think so you can do the best. And my God, he started to say, the king, that person shall be on the royal horse driving through the city with all the other little baby horse bowing down to him and all nicely dressed in royalty color. And he was saying, I want an army in the front and an army in the back and an army in the left and an army at the right. But he did not say, I want to the king. He said, he should have. And when he already make a statement and on all his decrees, the king raised up and said, could you please do that for Mordecai? And could you please accompany him? Because he deserves it. It is his time. It is his time. It is his time. God is saying, to house of prayer for all nations is God's timing. It is his time to take the kingdom. I don't know if you're ready, but I am ready, like Ready Freddy. I am ready because we have waited long for this time. We have went through strange battles. We have went through fires of testing. We have went through abuse. We have been accused. We have been condemned. We have been mocked. We have been scorned. We are the talk of the tongue. We have been laughed at. Everybody say, those house of prayer people, we were labeled. We were given all sort of name. But God is saying to house of prayer today, it is time, it is time, it is time, it is time to take the kingdom, to take the kingdom. He has given it to house of prayer. He has given it to house of prayer. Let's boast about it. He has blessed us. He has raised us up in the city. He knows what we have went through. And he said, now it's time. We are the Mordecais. We are the Esther in our generation. It's time to pray. It's time to seek the face of God.